Let's read Psalm 23 together, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With Psalm 23 open before us, could we please ask the blessing of God upon today's message? Heavenly Father, this is a familiar portion of the Word of God. This is a very well-known psalm. But we pray that by the power of the Spirit, this psalm will come alive to us today. We pray that this psalm will come with freshness to us. And we do pray that thou wilt encourage thy people. And even, Lord, that those who are not thy people, those who are not thy sheep, we pray that today they might turn to Christ. Answer prayer, Lord, we pray. O God, let the blood be applied to the preacher's lips. Oh, that the live coal would be laid upon the preacher's lips. And we pray, Lord, that these lips might be under the control of the great shepherd himself. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, today we come to another one of the great names of the Lord. And today we come to Jehovah Roi, R-O-I. Now, you don't need to particularly remember that Hebrew word, but the important thing for you to remember is what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to notice here that there's something interesting right at the beginning of Psalm 23. Notice the third word. Can you notice anything different about the third word? What is the third word? The third word is the third word. What's different about it? Well, did you notice the italics? You see, the other words are just in normal type, but is in italics. It's different. And that means that the King James translators, whenever they were translating the Bible from the original manuscripts, they had to insert the word is into the scriptures. They had to insert is into the first verse of Psalm 23 to give it the right sense. The Lord is my shepherd. But they have put it in italics. And it's very important that it is in italics. Because we know that the word is wasn't actually in the original. Now, we believe that the King James translators were right and correct to put it in. But they were equally right and correct to put it in italics. Thank God they did put it in italics. You see, many of the modern Bibles have had words inserted and lines added, but they're not in italics. So you don't know that they've been inserted. That's dishonest. And that's wrong. And that's the tragedy with many of the modern versions. Those men, those religious people who translated the NIV and other modern versions, they have added to the Word of God. But they haven't put the words in italics. At least the King James translators had the wisdom to put the words in italics. And they've put this word is in italics. So really, we could read the first verse like this. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. And when we read it like that, we see the great name, Jehovah Roy, the Lord, my shepherd. This is a great name of the Lord. David begins this psalm with the Lord's name, the Lord, my shepherd. That's something that it's important for you to know. What does the word shepherd mean? What did David mean when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord my shepherd? Well, do you know what he actually meant? The Lord is my pastor. That's what it literally means. The word shepherd there literally means pastor. The Lord is my pastor, or the Lord my pastor. Now, you have my apologies that I'm your pastor, but don't worry about it, because you've got a far greater pastor than me, the Lord. Did you know that, child of God, today? Jesus is your pastor. Oh yes, I'm the pastor of this flock. I'm one of the under shepherds. He's the great shepherd. I'm just the under shepherd. I'm just one of the tiny little pastors that the Lord has given the privilege of being on this earth and of shepherding this local flock. But remember that you've got a far greater pastor. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my pastor. There's something very interesting, and it's important for you to recognize this. Shepherds were despised. Shepherds were looked down upon. You see, back in David's day, shepherds were looked upon as second-class citizens. People despised them. I suppose we could compare it today to bin men. Do you know how people look down their noses at bin men? People despise bin men. Now, thank God for bin men. I don't despise them. I'm glad of them. And they do a very important work. But you know that there are some foolish people who despise them. Well, thank God for them. But what I'm trying to do is to make the comparison between the shepherd and the bin man. Because the shepherds were despised back in David's day. People looked down their nose at the shepherds. To be a shepherd was something that wasn't very attractive. And yet, isn't it amazing here that the Lord of glory likens himself to a shepherd? The Holy Spirit inspired David to say, the Lord is my shepherd. What humility. What humility that the Lord Jesus Christ should liken himself to a shepherd, to one who is despised, to one who is looked down upon. Oh, surely here's a picture of the lowly Nazarene. He was despised. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. He is despised and rejected of men. He is still despised today. Just as the shepherd was despised, so the Lord Jesus Christ is despised. I wonder, do you despise him today? You don't despise this church, perhaps, but that's not the important question. The important matter and the important question is, do you despise Jesus? Are you rejecting him? Sadly, today many people still do despise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come to Psalm 23, and I want to divide the psalm up into two. You see, there are really two aspects to this psalm. You see, first of all, we have David speaking about the shepherd. David speaks about the shepherd. The first three verses reveal to us David speaking about the shepherd. And the last verse, verse 6, also, that verse also has David speaking about the shepherd. So there's four verses, verses 1 to 3 and verse 6, where we have David speaking about the shepherd. But the other part is David speaking to the shepherd. Verses 4 and 5, he speaks to the shepherd. So that's the division that we want to make, and that's how we want to come at Psalm 23 today. And first of all, we're going to look at David speaking about the shepherd. Verses 1 to 3, we'll consider these verses for a short time. Now, we're not going to say anything about verse 6, because you'll remember that last year, or I hope you remember, when we were having the series about the alls of Scripture, we looked at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're not going to come back to that verse today, but let's look at the other verses today. And let's first of all consider David speaking about his shepherd. Verses 1 to 3. I want you to notice the thoughtfulness that David mentions here. The thoughtfulness. Because he says in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here's thoughtfulness. You see, David himself was a shepherd. He looked after his father's sheep. And David himself was a thoughtful shepherd. David led his flock and looked after his flock with thoughtfulness. But you see, David tells us that there's a greater shepherd who is also full of thoughtfulness, the Lord himself. And for a moment, consider his thoughtfulness. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You see, this verse speaks of rest and respite. The shepherd, in his thoughtfulness, he provides rest and respite for the flock. And no doubt David provided the rest and the respite for his flock. But you see, David wants us to learn something far more important, not just that he and any other shepherd would provide rest and respite for the flock, but that the Lord provides rest and respite for his flock. First of all, think about the rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep won't lie down. Sheep won't rest until every reason for fear has been taken out of the equation. That's one thing about sheep. Now, there are some of you listening to me today, and you know a lot more about sheep than I do. But even I, with my limited knowledge, know that sheep will not lie down until all cause for fear has been taken away. Well, you know, for those who are trusting in Christ, all cause for fear has been taken away. Those who are resting upon the finished work of the Savior, those who are trusting in the great shepherd of the sheep, Jehovah Roi. They have no reason to fear. So if today you're saved, you have no reason to be afraid. Now the devil will try to make you afraid, but you have no reason to be afraid. The judgment of God has been done away with. Christ took it all upon himself at the cross. And you can lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, Christ provides rest. That's one of the blessings of salvation. There's rest for the soul. You see, up until we rest in Christ, up until the moment we trust Christ, our lives are like a troubled sea. Our hearts are filled with unrest and with disturbance. There's no peace in our hearts because we don't have Christ. But when we take Christ as our Savior, then we know what rest is. We know what true rest is. And then we experience, or we should experience, what David talks about here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, God's people in this service today are resting in the crucified. Do you remember what the hymn writer said? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? That's the all important matter. If you're resting on the crucified, you have true rest. If you're resting in the crucified, you're lying down in green pastures. Tell me today, are you resting in the crucified? Are you leaning totally? Now I mean totally upon the finished work of Christ. Or are you resting, are you leaning on something else? Nothing else will provide rest for your soul. Nothing else will ever redeem your soul. Nothing else can ever remove the stain of sin. And nothing else can give you peace with God. Only by lying down in green pastures. Only by resting in the crucified. Are you in the green pastures today? Are you lying down? What a lovely picture it is to see the sheep lying in the green pastures. And the sheep are chewing the cud and they're contented. They're resting because all cause for fear has been taken out of the equation. The shepherd is there. The shepherd has taken all cause for fear away and the sheep can rest. And praise the Lord today for those of us who are resting in Christ. We're trusting in the crucified one. We can lie down in the green pastures. There's rest, but thank God there's also respite, because the psalmist said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you picture the scene? Here you have the sheep, and they're drinking at the still waters. Now, not stagnant waters. I didn't say stagnant waters, but I said still waters, peaceful waters. Yes, fresh waters, pure waters. But still waters. You see, one other thing about sheep, one of the characteristics of sheep is that they will not drink from a flowing brook. They will not drink from a babbling brook, from a running stream. Running water frightens the sheep. They need the still waters. They need respite. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Jehovah Roi, he provides respite for his people. He provides the still waters for his people. He provides the still waters of his word. He provides the still waters of his grace and his mercy. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And of course, the Lord's house is a place of still waters. The church services are a place of still waters. Do you not have respite today? Are you here in the meeting today and you don't have respite? You don't have calmness. You don't have peace of soul. I wonder, is it that you've been neglecting the house of God? You haven't been coming to the still waters to drink. How important it is for the growth of the Lord's sheep that they come to the house of God, because that's where the still waters are. That's where the respite is. Surely we would all agree that the church is respite. Surely we would agree that 11:30 on Sunday morning and 7:00 on a Sunday evening, we come to a place of respite. This is a busy world. This is a hectic world that we're living in. And most days we are chasing our tails, as it were. Life is so busy. Well, how good it is just to come to the still waters. Just to come to the house of God. Do you know what I'm going to say? Now, this might surprise you, but this is something that I firmly believe. Do you know why there are so many people today who have psychological problems, psychiatric problems? I'll tell you one of the main reasons. Because they don't come to the house of God. Our psychiatric units today are full of people. And people have so much trouble of mind. There's so much mental anguish today, and people's heads are not right today. Well, there's a reason for it, because those people don't come to the still waters. They don't come to the house of God. You see, even though you're not saved, and even though you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, there is still benefit in coming to the house of God. Yes, there is physical benefit, mental benefit, and spiritual benefit. How beneficial it is for us to come to the house of God. There's so much talk today about well-being and being healthy and well holistically. I think that's the term that's used today. Talking about the whole person, your body, your mind, your spirit. You know, the best thing to do to keep yourself right holistically, body, mind and spirit, the best thing to do is to be found in the house of God. Come to the still waters. Oh, here's thoughtfulness. David speaks about the shepherd. And David, as it were, exalts the shepherd. And he tells us about his thoughtfulness. Think about the thoughtfulness of my shepherd. Oh, but then David wants to tell us about the tenderness of his shepherd. He speaks about the tenderness of his shepherd. You see, David goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What tenderness. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes sheep end up on their back. Sheep who end up on their back are called cast sheep. Now let me paint the picture for you, just in case there's anybody who doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes sheep accidentally roll right over onto their back and their four legs are sticking right up vertically. And they're on their back. and they are helpless. They cannot get back onto their feet again. They are called, they are referred to as cast sheep. And if the shepherd doesn't get to the sheep in time, that sheep will die. Gas will fill that sheep, and the sheep will die. Sometimes we who are the Lord's sheep end up on our back, isn't that right? Through our own foolishness, through our own waywardness, we go into meadows where the Lord's sheep should not go into. We go and we get involved in things and we do things that we ought not to do. And we end up on our back. We end up just like the cast sheep. I'm glad that he restoreth my soul. I'm glad that the Lord my shepherd comes along to me when I have been foolish and careless and wandered, and I'm glad that he restores my soul. And this is the good news for every Christian here today. Whenever we do end up on our backs, whenever we need restoration, the Lord in his tenderness comes and he restores us. I'm glad that he gently, tenderly turns us onto our side. And by the way, this is what shepherds do. Shepherds, when they're turning over cast sheep, they come to the sheep and they don't just turn the sheep over, set it on its feet and run away off somewhere. They take time with that sheep and they'll gently move the sheep onto its side. They will rub the sheep tenderly, rub it, and particularly the legs. They will rub the legs to get the circulation going again so that the sheep will have power to stand up again. And gently the shepherd, he lifts the sheep onto its feet. And the shepherd doesn't just turn his back and say, "You're on your own." No, the shepherd stays with the sheep, supporting the sheep until the sheep has the strength to stand on its own. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for his people who fall. That's what he does for his cast sheep. You see, this is encouragement for any in the meeting who have fallen. You've fallen into sin. You've been involved in something that you know is sinful and it's evil and it's wicked and it's wrong. Now you must acknowledge that, and if you need to, you must make restitution. That means that if anyone else has been involved in your sin, if you have harmed anyone else by your sin, you, child of God, are duty bound to go and to apologize to that person. But if you're willing to do that, you can rest assured that the Lord is willing to restore your soul. Now that's if there's been anyone else involved. Perhaps, child of God, you're here today and you've fallen into some sin and no one else knows about it. Nobody else knows anything about it. Well, if you're willing to confess it to the shepherd, then he is willing to restore your soul. 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." David speaks about the shepherd. Time has gone. We don't have time to think about David speaking to the shepherd. We'll come back to that another day. obviously not next week, but God willing, 2 weeks from today, we'll come back again to Psalm 23.